on CFRC 101.9 FM.
And good afternoon. You are listening to Finding a Voice. Thanks for tuning in to CFRC 101.9 FM. I guess I should say that first. Located here in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce, and this is Finding a Voice, a spoken word program airing here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And coming up on the show today in the first hour from Poets at Art Fest 10, our 10th outing and 9th annual three-day outdoor festival, always held the July 1st weekend. And now I'm into the fourth show of readings from it, so they're kind of staggered out because I have other things I need to air. But coming up this afternoon, you'll hear the June 30th Sunday morning launch of the anthology More Than a Gathering. Was work by those who took part in the 2023 Poets at Art Fest event. And this afternoon, in this hour, you'll hear readings from the anthology by Jane McDonald, Beth Marie Michalska, Susan J. Atkinson, Gwen Whitford, Doris Fisher, Abby Miole, Brent Raycroft, Alana Veach, Catherine Jones, David Malone, Ann Graham, Sue Bracken, Honey Novick, Jen Frankel, Ron Chase, Ann Archer, Meg Freer, Jennifer Laundrie, Kelsey Newman Reed, Eric Folsom, Wendy Jean McLean, Judith Popiel, Joel Giroux, Maria Mattia, and me. And in the second hour today, you'll hear a very recent interview I did with Era McCauley, who is the artistic director of Kingston Writers Fest. And it's it was a very nice conversation that you'll hear with her about this year's upcoming event, Kingston Writers Fest 2024, coming up September 25th through the 29th. And just to start off with, my usual start of the hour announcement, occasionally some poetry, spoken word, or music played on this show may contain strong language, but all is played in its entirety with content unedited to honor the creative integrity of both the author and the piece. So here again from that Sunday morning session of the second day of Poets at Art Fest 2024, you're going to hear readings from 25 of the people who participated in the event last year. I'll introduce, you'll hear me introduce each of them in the recording as they come up. Well, at least I will announce their name and bring them up to the stage that day. So you'll hear all of them. And so I won't go through that whole list of 25 people's names again. And you will hear them. And I will go through them again after it's after it airs, though. I thought I had one more thing I was going to say. It was about just a little over half of the people who actually submitted. I believe there are 47 contributors to the anthology, and you're going to hear 25 readings. So there you go, pretty close to half. And I will air the event just from start to finish. I won't break in and interrupt it with anything. So you'll kind of hear it as it happened that day. So without further ado, here again from the June 30th, that was the Sunday morning of the event, anthology launch of More Than a Gathering, which was the anthology, the title of the anthology put together from the Poets of 2023. I think I've oversaid everything I needed to about that. I'll tell you what, let's just go ahead and play it. Here we go.
There we go. Glasses. Well, again, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the launch of More Than a Gathering, a celebration of last year's poets who all took part in the festival here. Again, I mentioned it, but as you'll see, Don from Novel Idea is on hand today to help any sales to guests who are hoping to purchase a copy of the book. Also, for any of you, I have put in a separate pile the books that you may have ordered. If you've decided you want to order more books, she does have a credit card option as well. That's up to you, and you'll get the same discount that I would have given you, so just so you know. Okay? And I want to say first, just want to mention, I'm just going to say a few things here. What a wonderfully beautiful array of poetry all of those of you who were in the book sent me. I was so amazed by the quality and content you offered, and it was a joy curating this collection, really, and working with each of you, so thank you. My heartfelt thanks in the distance to the publisher and printer for this, I think, beautifully produced book and staying on track on a very tight timeline to get this produced. And if you'll notice the photo on the front cover, I've worked with this publisher a number of times with my own work and have always chosen the cover I wanted and by approaching artist friends that I have and love and whose work I love, and I always use that work. But this time, with a short turnaround, and my publisher is an incredible photographer as well, I simply said to him, send me a bunch of park pictures, because I knew that's what I wanted. I want a picture of a park. He's never been to this park, as far as I know, has never been to this spot here, but if you look at the photo, it so much resembles it, I think, and I was struck by that and by the beauty of it as well. And of the dozen or so photos that he sent me, that was the very first one. And I thought, how could I not choose this one? The serendipity just was very touching. I don't want to take too much time here, and I would prefer to allow as much time as possible for readings and just mingling afterwards. I just want to briefly say to all of you, thank you again for the wonderful work you sent, but your beautiful energy and passion that you brought with you to this event last year. It was indeed magical. And then it was honestly because of that that the idea for this anthology was actually born. So thank you. And if you want to, I could say a lot more, but I think I said it well enough in my editor's note after the introduction from Miguel. Which is wonderful as well, but I don't want to take any more time here. Again, just my heartfelt thanks to all of you who took part in this and are included in this anthology, and my heartfelt thanks in advance as well to anyone who might find beauty in this book and be interested as a guest and a reader. So it is because of all of you who contributed to this book that made it the beautiful anthology that it is. So please give yourselves a hand. And I'm going to go through the list. First up, Jane McDonald. Let's bring her up.
Hi, everyone. This is called it's called Mr. Nyman's Dutch Garden. Tulips, all of them the same gormless yellow and in your face red, ornament the front yard of every house on his street, an onslaught issuing yearly from the card table in his driveway where he set out paper bags of bulbs. They conquered the neighborhood. He died, Mr. Nyman, but last spring, after a lifetime of Aprils, I took him up on the invitation he'd planted by the walkway. Open garden, come in. His funeral was in November, and the signs being uprooted. But today, if I slow past the house, I catch sight of his tulips marching the length of his back garden to the mill pond, swerving a flame around knots of crazy narcissi still nodding at their reflections. Mr. Nyman invited everyone to lose themselves a while in that categorical beauty. But that's not why I stopped. Humiliated by all my little losses, how other people's lives are better than mine, I swear I did not mean to overlook how the plum blossom flares on its bare, dumb branch, or how the magnolia tree in his side yard crushes the new grass with its grape soda petals.
As we give Jane another hand, let's bring up Beth Marie Michalska.
Hello, everyone. It's such a pleasure to be here. There's one word in the poem I'm going to read that may be unfamiliar to a couple of you, and it's Cayley. It's a Gaelic word, and it means a gathering, a party, so very fitting. This poem is called Stable Love, and it's for two of my friends, Alison MacLeod and Ian Thompson. The sheep dance while birds flutter and tweet as we gather in Ashton Lane. Undertaker's creaky stables morphed to a drinking place for humans. Take your libations up the rickety stairs. Set it all aside to celebrate a feast for upcoming nuptials. The cattle graze in fields farther out from Glasgow, lowing at a distance, noticing people's propensities for cement, petrol, noise. Bovine huge brown eyes blink in wonder at city barns, now wrapped in twinkle lights. No hay, yet continuing as places for food and drinks. The mares with foals still suckling appreciate wild human passion, get the reining in that marriage brings, yet only after a fair time of prancing, galloping, and cantering on. The couple's vows, solemnity and joy, kilt and lace, roses showering greenery, community hands holding herd promises high as the spouses grin, forward embrace to start a Cayley. Thank you.
And I might just mention that this isn't a microphone, it's only a recorder. And if you stand behind it, I'm going to get a lot better recording of you, and I won't get a lot of ambient noise when I try to edit it. So, yeah. And I should have brought that up at the start. I'm sorry. Anyway, let's give Beth Marie another hand and bring up Susan J. Atkinson.
All right. I'm going to do as I'm told. I'm going to stand right here. Oh, what a pleasure and an honor. I think this is fitting that I choose and read this poem from the anthology for my amazing chauffeur who drove me here from Ottawa this morning. So this love poem is for you, for Anthony. For you who sat at the bar in a downtown club, for you who willingly accepted my spontaneous tequila-fueled fearless kiss, for you who convinced me to remarry on a late December night when soft snow settled in halos on streetlights below, whose winter glow snuck through frayed shades as we wrapped presents to put under the tree. For you who encouraged me to rise with the pinking of the sky, to reach the dangling string of a dream, and to hold it long enough to believe. For you who held me through loss, lifted me through joy, anchored my way, surprised me with the small things, a favorite drink, a favorite book, a late night cheese and onion sandwich. For you whose touch is heat and keeps me young. Thank you.
As we give Susan another hand, let's bring up Gwen Whitford.
Thank you, Bruce. Good morning, everyone. The poem I'm going to read today is Summer Cold. Heavy, humid, sultry days, streaming sweat. Lethargy prevails. Sweltering heat bounces off concrete. No reprieve without AC until darkening days and barren trees usher in the season of bleak. It's dreary, freezing, constant chill segues into the coldest months when dreams defy logic with escapes to tropical climes where a taste of insufferable summer is deemed perfectly fine. Thank you.
As we give Gwen another hand, let's bring up Doris Fisher.
Thanks very much, Bruce. Can everyone hear me? So great being here this morning. The poem I'm going to read is called Origins. I pocketed starlight before I was born, roamed the cosmos, explored the surface of the moon, planned my beginning. I knew by watching. The man hovers over the woman, his talk a warm buzz of love. The woman arranges his favorite cookies on a plate, stirs honey into his tea. They hold hands, walking. I was not yet born, but knew in this coming life I'd shoulder their sufferings. Do we choose the ones who birth us? The light I collected shone through them. I sprinkled moon dust on their bed. My story as worthy as any other. Who knows how we arrive if we carry fragments of our lives from the blackness like tiny scars of memory. Thank you.
As we give Doris another hand, let's bring up Abby Mioli. But before you clap, I just need to point out that when all of the submissions came in, hers was in Book Antigua, and I'd never seen that, or I'd never really paid attention to that, and I loved it so much, I thought, but that's the font that the books are going to be in. So let's bring up Abby Mioli.
You're very welcome for the font, Bruce. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to read this poem called Spinning, and you'll probably be able to tell that it's inspired by math and science class. I just graduated high school, by the way. Thank you. I wish I could understand myself. Then maybe I'd feel more sane and find the axes that divide the cosmic planes. And if the lines that bisect are also what connect all the uncommon factors, then maybe the figures are all significant and too infinite to be considered a limitation. I wish I could converse with my future self. Would she be wiser, calmer? Would she have learned by then how to let go? And how would I know the joys of life without the promise of pain? I wish I could decode my intuition. She only speaks in the medium of mimetics, the whisper of rustling leaves, the silence within music, and gusts of wind so strong some days I am reminded of my inferiority to this noisy world and the mathematics of Mother Nature. So still, some days, I forget the earth is spinning. Thank you.
Let's give Abby another hand. Let's bring up Brent Raycroft.
Thanks, Bruce. Hi, everybody. Sundowning. What did you teach me? Don't say luck, say if the devil doesn't interrupt or can't complain. And if it's bad, just peachy. Did he know that to cross that bog from freedom into care meant he'd lose his boots and his words there? Or that the TV'd play all day on low, bland mnemonic of a time before he was alone? No toast, no bread, no liquids, only gels and jello. Did she know when the heart attack hit broadside, she would get no further in the Binchy novel bookmarked at her bedside? Or that he'd live for 10 years yet, and in the last forget he placed his fearful hand on her cooling back, spine slack and skin like wax? May I outdo you, as you hoped, slink out of my room unseen and ramble, old but still noctambulant, tell the moon about you both.
As we give Brent another hand, let's bring up Alana Veach.
Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay? Okay. Working on that. I am going to read a piece titled, I See Miracles. Give me the stories you dream while you wake in a world that exists, but not as I've ever known it. Tell me the tales of the day when you will wake here and relish the living we've had. I see miracles growing and thriving and dying as the moon wipes the earth with her pale blue face and her eyes cast a lovely but lonely loon light before morning awakens our earthly bodies. Lend me the thoughts in your beautiful mind as you wrestle with me and my womanly being. Share you, but most of all, see that I do just as the others do. I see miracles growing and thriving and dying as the moon wipes the earth with her pale blue face and her eyes cast a lonely but lovely loon light before morning awakens our earthly bodies.
And as we give Alana another hand, let's bring up Catherine Jones.
Hi there, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here. The title of my poem is called Perpetual Motion. Eloquent strides in bare feet, dress skimming the sand, elegant poses. Essence of natural beauty exudes from this creature. Sensuous form, wind blowing the dress into ballooning puffs, like sails on a boat, going with the breeze, naturally flowing. Swish with each step of delectable grace. Each step you take embellishes a different silhouette. Thank you.
To give Catherine another hand, let's bring up David Malone.
Thanks, Bruce. I'm going to read a poem called Sometime Gathering Place. I wrote this not very long after Stephen Hyten died. Sick and sicker for weeks and weeks. Chemo and radiation at the same time. I'm just skeletal when, come the 1st of November, finally I get going again. Short walks to begin, then a little further, till about the 7th day I make it as far as the oak tree in the park down the way, which is skeletal as ever come November 2. And then after that, but never before, a sometime gathering place for murders of crows, whose raucous conversations must, I think, when I hear them from my home, disturb the furthest skies. As I rest, skeleton against skeleton, and wish for a return of strength I know I'll not have again. Out of the dusk they arrive, hundreds of them, and light on the stripped boughs of the tree and me, as though the tree and I were one. And as their claws dig into my ghostly flesh, in that black and awful din, what I feel most is that I'm grateful to be alive, even if I've become what I've become, almost a mockery of what it is to be human. Though the treatments have stopped for now, I'll not beat it. It's in my bones. So please, I say to the crows, perhaps a dozen of whom just now call me home, claw at them if you like, but don't crush them, not yet, as something else is already doing that. But if and when I return here again, and you, with your joyous voices aswirl. Smeared, a little bloody, but elated, as I make my way back home, I hear the crows too turn and go.
As we give David another hand, let's bring up Ann Graham.
Hi. I am standing up. Thank God. Okay, what I want to read today is very short, and it's one of my favorite poems. I do have favorite poems. Choir of Daffodils. I'm watching a choir of daffodils. Their heads are turned upward. Does this stance enable their voices? Because God is not up there, but sitting here with me on a chair by the window, watching a choir of daffodils.
And as we give Ann another hand, let's bring up Sue Bracken.
Hello, hello. This is one of my many water-related poems, and also combined with being a total amateur photographer. This is Boiling Beauties, and it's after a poem called Starfish by Eleanor Lehrman. This is what rain does. It takes you to the brink, brings you to your knees in the lake, fully clothed, oblivious, all to capture a tiny explosion. Your ever-loving man suspends a towel over you and your camera. Life gives you a photography course. Rain gives you 20 blank shots. You recalibrate. You, your beloved camera, towel again. Rain drenches all but head and camera. Whole generations of fish are summoned to stare. You wonder, is this a message? And what is a raindrop to a fish? You want to stand here forever, feel the melt on your skin, hear each plop, witness the bounce and sink of water on water, catch even one. More blanks. Are you old enough to appreciate this challenge? Too old? You, you're a more camera towel again. Rain gives you propulsive pearls, elegant, elusive, boiling beauties. This is what rain does. It lets your dank, unworthy self feel lucky, not smart. Don't settle for lucky. Get the shot.
To give Sue another hand, let's bring up Honey Novick.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much, Bruce, for everything you do for me, for poetry, for us. So in the memos that he sent, it has to be short. Anyway, the one that I'm not going to do... I Want You to Know is dedicated to Jen Frankel and her family, who taught me that there is possibility in the world. The one that I do want to do, I have to say, I'm dedicating this to my best friend, Bill Bissett, who was awarded the Order of Canada in poetry and art. So, once upon a time, the woodlands were threatened in northern Ontario, the Temagami, and many of us gathered together, and this is what I contributed to the revolt. But it's done in absolute reverence. Oh, Mother Earth, we are your children, trees and people, and field and stream. Oh, Mother Earth, we are your children. We want to thank you. We want to dream. Expediency lives in our hearts. Just for a dollar, just for a buck. We rip off tomorrow and sell off today. What makes us think we won't have to pay? Oh, Mother Earth, we are your children, trees and people and field and stream. Oh, Mother Earth, we are your children. We want to thank you. We want to dream. The trees give their lives to unmask people's greed. People and trees, we're all family. We're killing our future by selling our mother. Oh, Mother Earth, we are your children. Trees and people and field and stream. Oh, Mother Earth, we are your children. We want to thank you. We want to dream. My cry is a warning. The chaos is near. We're killing our future by bowing to fear. Can you hear me, Mother Earth? My laughter is hidden. My tears ever flow. Oh, Mother Earth, we are your children, trees and people and field and stream. Oh, Mother Earth, we are your children. We want to thank you. We want to dream. My cry is a warning. The chaos is near. We're killing our future by bowing to fear. Can you hear me, Mother Earth? The love in my heart. Our laughter is hidden. Our tears ever flow. Oh, Mother Earth, we need to thank you. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you, Bruce.
As we give Honey another hand, let's bring up Jen Frankel.
Therapy. Loving you is just like being in therapy. I'm with you an hour, and then you want me to leave. I pay more for it than I can afford. And I'm still unsatisfied when you show me the door.
So give Jen another hand. Let's bring up Ron Chase.
Ferlotti on Queen Street. Today you wore long sleeves, even in this hate-filled heat. You sometimes dress in sunset, and I see you listening to your music as you make your way home at the end of the day. Lately, your clothes look like cloud cover. I will call you Lottie, I don't really know why. Your arms no longer swing as you walk. There's no music left in your ears. Your eyes pass the people in your way and pull you along so you don't get lost. I fear one day soon you won't be there as I drive by. Thanks.
So give Ron another hand. Let's bring up Ann Archer.
Hi, everyone. Thanks, Bruce. Is it ever wonderful to be able to put faces to familiar names? Like, oh, you're Honey Novak. You're Jen Frankel. Oh, this is so exciting. I'm going to read a poem that I confess I have read once or twice, so maybe three or four times before to some of you. It's called River's Edge. You're thinking of strawberries or the whittering of hummingbirds. The perfect stone. Its edges saucers smooth so that it skims pluck, 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 three times lucky, and fills the space between comfort and delight. Like the right word in the right place. The world beyond the rapids, thick with crows. Thank you.
So we give Ann another hand. Let's bring up Meg Freer.
Thanks, Bruce. Seeds of control. The daisy I pick from the hoarder's overgrown yard at 11 p.m. lasts a week in a glass of water. The daisy from my lawn barely a day. The wrecking yard across town, testimony to loss of control, sports a few seasonal additions amid goldenrod and chicory, jet ski, dune buggy, one small egg-shaped camper trailer. Midsummer, the garden cosmos becomes unruly, waving shades of pink in a glorious free-for-all, each single bloom a simple cartoon flower. Late in August, one feeble sunflower emerges from seeds I planted by the garage. Down the street, a healthy stand of them bursts from the hoarder's weeds, as if to taunt me.
As we give Meg another hand, let's bring up Jennifer Laundry.
Hi, everyone. Happy Canada Day. Queen Street. Under the black umbrella, a robin's egg blue long sleeve shirt, yellow pants, fishing shack green socks, and brown loafers. Leash wrapped around her wrist is tethered to a dog, fur the color of spun gold. Sidewalk is crematorium, a continuous halo of heat that hovers like a mirage around dog and its owner vanishing. Thank you.
As we give Jennifer another hand, let's bring up Kelsey Newman Reed.
This poem's called Empty Swing Set. That empty swing set rustles in the breeze, where the trees used to be, still are, but far away, in my mind that plays tricks on how I see. I remember the shape of the leaves, the shape of you as you swung too fast with your back to me. In my mind that plays tricks, it still sees you on the empty swing set, still feels how the breeze rustled my hair, still feels how it felt to be near you, where the trees used to be, still are, but far away.
As we give Kelsey another hand, let's bring up Eric Folsom.
Thank you. I'm going to read a poem entitled Say It Over and Over Again. Appropriately, I've performed it and read it over and over again. In February of 2020, I was in Victoria visiting John Barton. And then in March of 2020, the world kind of shut down. And I have a bit of a crush on John. It's like I wasn't able to see him again for years. So I'm going to dedicate this to John Barton. Say it over and over again. At the end of the call, I added three short words to say without saying how I missed being close. Joked briefly about notional proclivities and our formerly mutual activities. All the more improbable in pandemic times, desires tossed off in a coded expression. Awkward and anodyne, an amateur helpline, not a phrase that could make us really feel sublime. To travel the continent on planes that don't fly, just to greet you with your mask on 6 feet away, is more than absurd. So let microwaves haul the words across the sky, an owl's wing through dark forest. Dear friend, tune your heart to the soundscape of the night. Who loves who over and over beneath starlight?
So give Eric another hand. Let's bring up Wendy Jean McLean.
Hi. So this poem is called My Father Watches the Old Fox. On his birthday, my father watches the old fox foraging through the piles of rubbish and branches that have washed up on the shore after the storm. The great fox tail is ragged now, like an old sentence stripped of detail and punctuation. It was once an exclamation point at the end of all his adventures. Now it drags behind his skinny body as a sign of loss and shame at what he has become. My father sees the forest youth in the scrawny creature scrounging at the breakwater. They both know the expense of the seasons of wandering and change. He sees the fox as a visitor and friend. He does not need to add drama to the wonder of two old souls, and the stories they find, and the stories they tell in the words washed up after the storm.
As we give Wendy another hand, let's bring up Judith Popiel.
So I just want to say that I was truly grateful when I heard that Bruce was going to publish these two poems, because they are two of my favorite poems that I've written. So I go to an old oak forest in Napanee, and it gives me solace, and it seems like the trees are writing the poems to me, and something magical happens when I go there. And this forest can never be destroyed, so that's the nice part. There's lots more I could say, but I'll just read the poem. I'm going to read The Old Oak Forest Before Winter Solstice. Tall and straight, your many trunks stand, roots buried deep beneath carpet of fallen leaves. Your sturdy trunk holding leftover expanded branches, silhouetted against cold, dreary atmosphere of an almost winter-like sky. Weary from adorning us from summer splendor, your branches hold piercing silence of the moment. It's as if the fall weather has shaved your branches razor thin. It's as if the fall weather has brought you to the core of your beauty, standing momentarily in awe, silence of equinox more profound, no wind, just a sacred stillness amongst your dormant trunk. Squirrels chirping in the distance as if singing the swan song of summer. Naked you are, before my very eyes, sacred stillness emerges within my mind, warns my challenged body of coming winter months. Glory of summer, your great indelible canopy, not lost, just dormant in my consciousness, observing and listening attentively against the mist of the gentle wind, remembering the spectacle of summer and what lay beneath the surface. Winter solstice brings new horizons, more light, more insight into the natural world of this oak forest. Flocks of Canadian geese fly overhead, their distant cries heard every year overshadow the contemplative silence of the moment. Standing still amongst these great oaks, I await the equinox, savoring winter's blessings. Thank you.
As we give Judith another hand, let's bring up Joel Giroux.
Thank you so much, Bruce. This poem is called Lily in the Hosta, and it's written for my father. I saw a long fury of hosta in the grass when I walked past my neighbor's garden. It stretched the lawn beside their house to give up a blast of bright leaves ringed with forest green. Inside that glorious mess, verdant and lush, a lily emerged like a white hand in bloom, offering a grace unlike anything else that corner plot had ever given before or ever will again. A floral glance, bright as new life, as living itself, until gone for the season. World's end, a whirl of white distended, and slight, but righteous and alive. alive still.
Thank you.
Let's give Joel another hand. Now, I see a couple, at least a couple of faces in the audience that didn't sign up. Perfect. Let's welcome Maria Mattia.
Hello. So, I have three poems that they all go around one concept, and it's a Japanese philosophical concept. But, yeah. Take a look in the back. Look. Just rest your attention upon grass or trees, whatever catches your attention. Yeah. And now close your eyes. Notice what you feel in the chest or in the body. Open your eyes. And now let's look at those leaves. You notice they are present or moving or green. You notice something. So I will read the poem now. The poem is called Yugan. So Yugan means something that beauty perceived with partial perception. So beauty perceived partially. So it's almost like if you look at the leaves, it's not there. But if you look maybe at the wind, you see that kind of beauty. It's the beauty that a bit takes your breath away, takes you from the head, takes you into the breath. And it's very short. So it's like mystery partially perceived, but it's there, right? Good. Yugan. Oh, need glasses. So it's the moments also when you see the birds flying or look at the sky. That's Yugan. Look at the sky. That's right there. Yugan. It's enough to breathe, to touch you. It's enough to breathe, let your voice sing. It's enough to breathe, to see you come and go, walk like an angel. And that's the cloud. Maybe, or depends for everyone. So we all have our Yugan moments, and actually when we write, we go into that space. Like when you look at the clouds, you look inside yourself, and that moment is also inside. Thank you so much.
Let's give Maria another hand. And was there anybody else? I think we're all good. We've heard some incredible poetry this morning. Let's give yourselves and everybody else another round of applause. Well, my pleasure. And again, thank you all for being part of the anthology. I'm going to close the reading portion, but again, eat those cookies. I brought those cookies. Eat those cookies. And thank you all again for your wonderful work and making this really a beautiful journey for me. I'm going to close this portion, and we're still officially part of the launch for another almost 50 minutes. So, yeah, I'm going to close with this. This is called 33 Years On. At my journal at a patio, summertime, an evening. Someone walking past asked if I was drawing. I said, no, writing poetry. 33 years ago, and I still remember this so lucidly. Reminded here again this morning of that evening. And to this day still, am not sure if they were interested or disappointed as they walked away. Thank you all.
And you just heard from the June 30th Sunday morning launch of the anthology at this year's 3-Day Poets at Art Fest Poetry Festival. You heard the anthology called More Than a Gathering that featured work by those who took part in the 2023 Poets at Art Fest event. And again, you heard readings by Jane McDonald, Beth Marie Michalska, Susan J. Atkinson, Gwen Whitford, Doris Fisher, Abby Miole, Brent Raycroft, Alana Veach, Catherine Jones, David Malone, and Graham, Sue Bracken, Honey Novick, and Jen Frankel, Ron Chase, and Archer, Meg Freer, Jennifer Laundrie, Kelsey Newman Reed, Eric Folsom, Wendy Jean McLean, and Judith Popiel, Joel Giroux, Maria, Mattia, and then me. And I'll tell you what, it is now 55 and a half minutes after 4 o'clock. I'll tell you what, let's do this, and I will be right back.
Folk Everything is your passport to the finest in folk music. Old, new, and everything in between. The wonderful, the wild, and the weird.
Walk quietly by, he won't bother you. He's a busy man, he's got things to do.
It's all here Saturdays from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. Folk Everything with Hugh on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston.
Our house is a very, very, very fine house.
Late in the 1970s, four Kingston women got together to discuss the idea of creating a community house, a place where grassroots organizations, families, and groups could gather, a place where food could be prepared and shared, new skills could be learned, and lively discussion could be encouraged. For over 30 years, Kingston Community House has provided low-cost meeting space for hundreds of groups, allowing people to come together to learn from one another, share resources, and trade skills. As it becomes safe once again to gather in person, we look forward to providing the Kingston community with a comfortable and convenient place to reconnect with one another. Located in downtown Kingston, we operate 7 days a week. For more information on Kingston Community House and how to book, please visit kingstoncommunityhouse.org.
Listen to Let It Happen on Saturdays at 1 p.m. till 2 p.m. for a little bit of psych, a little bit of pop, and a whole lot of and that's only on CFRC 101.9.
And again, you are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC on 101.9 FM, located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And right now it is about 58 and a half minutes after 4 o'clock, so we're going to be moving quickly into the next hour. Before we get there, though, I want to thank all of you out there very much for having tuned in to the first hour of the show today, and for you to catch that wonderful launch that morning. My heartfelt thanks as well to, again, all the poets you just heard for wanting to be part of not only this year's event, but also last year's event and the anthology, and who wanted to come share some readings from it that day. I also want to thank all of those who showed up simply and incredibly, wonderfully to listen and support both the book and the poet's reading and just the event itself. One thing I always mention at the end of each hour, just a reminder that both weeks, or every week, I should say, both hours are uploaded to my blog space for it at Finding a Voice here on, blog space at Finding a Voice on CFRCFM.wordpress.com.